This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Chris and Amy now. The Dave Glover Show at 1 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Amy, do you remember when Scott Jagow was in here last Friday and told us to pick the wrong horse?
Oh, the horse
that
editor?
That is
true. Yeah, the horse editor.
The horse editor that
gave us the wrong winner.
This is the problem with being the horse editor or the horse guy.
Yeah.
Is that if you look at my phone messages, texted before the Derby was run, people asked me, who do you think is going to win the Derby? I said Sovereignty over and over and over. Unfortunately, the day before on this program, I said, you know, the horse I like as a long shot is Publisher. Yeah. I didn't get into Sovereignty, but, you know, this
you
is the problem
that.
With it mm-hmm. because people, if you don't give out the horse or if you change your mind in the last 24 hours and I decided to bet Sovereignty, which I did, I made the biggest Derby bet I've ever made on Sovereignty.
Really?
Yes.
So did you lose your mind when he won?
Well, actually, I was pretty good. I mean, I stood up and made some motions.
You know what? I think he was.
I'm happy for you.
I think he told us the wrong horse on purpose because he didn't want a bunch of people listening to the Chris and Amy show going out and placing bets and then changing the odds.
That's how the game is played.
I am.
It's me versus you.
Very happy.
Unbelievable.
Scott,
I try. I really do. But every year this happens. People get mad at me because I gave them a different horse and then I changed my mind or I forgot to talk about this one. Whatever. Anyway, I'm happy with the result.
Yeah, and, I'm sure you are.
You know,
yeah,
I apologize for focusing too much on the crazy long shot publisher. I still bet him too.
Look, I'm very happy for you.
I didn't win anything.
But
I
now,
lost $5
because of you.
Yeah,
my kid can't get that surgery.
Yeah, and it was
sorry.
It was
sorry.
It was I feel must really win bad. Surgery.
It was a must.
It was must win surgery.
Well, speaking of
Sovereignty. I got a question for you. Yeah. Hold on. We have a question for you that came up last week.
Okay.
Or no, earlier this week, right?
Okay. I think it was like 3 days ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 3 days ago. And it was on the tip of my tongue when we were doing the Kentucky Derby segment last week because I was wondering, do the horses know that they're in a race? Do they even know they're competing? Do they know what a competition is? Okay.
Well, we tell them what we did our own research.
And so then I was thinking that I don't think we got to the question. And then this article came up and the article was, do horses know they are racing? And the answer is likely no.
I disagree with that 100%.
How do they know, though?
I have seen thousands and thousands of races, and I know how they're trained. Horses are trained. Thoroughbreds are trained to race against each other. And maybe not in every case, but a lot of times, and you can see specific horses especially. I remember there was one of my favorite horses of all time, Zenyatta. She won her first 19 races
in
a row.
She's in all the Marvel
movies.
She's
pretty Well, she's named after Zenyatta Mandata, the Police album from like 1980, because Jerry Moss, the producer of that record, was the owner of Zenyatta.
Okay.
Fun fact. But Zenyatta won 19 races in a row and then lost her last race by this much, just a tiny, tiny bit. And it was incredible. It was at the Breeders' Cup Classic, one of the biggest races of the year. Point being, every time she ran, she would come from way behind. Mm. And a lot of times she would win by the smallest of margins because she knew where the finish line was. There's no arguing. 19 times she found the finish line. So I do believe thoroughbred racehorses know what they're up to.
What if they're just racing because they're trained to be in a certain position within a group? So they think they're getting into formation. They don't know they're trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, there's, yeah. I believe that to be true also, but I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think some racehorses just know what they're up to, and they know where the finish line is, and that's their goal. So I mean, it doesn't mean they're sitting in their brain going, oh, I'm in a horse race, you know?
Well, that was the, I think that was the
that's
point.
The question.
But that's ridiculous.
But when they cross
you can't,
the finish line, do they go,
whatever that word is.
Anthropomorphism.
I can't
but
ever
do you
say
think
that word.
He crossed the finish line and was like,
anthropomorphism?
Yes,
I won the Kentucky Derby. Or did he just think I got into formation?
Do you think the horse actually says to themselves, I just won the Kentucky Derby?
No, here's what I think is happening.
We're trying to relate it to an animal's psyche.
Here's what I think the horse is thinking. This guy keeps whipping me, so I'm just going to keep running really fast.
Yeah. If the horse all knows right. they're in a race, you wouldn't have to hit him on the bottom so
right.
much.
Right. That's exactly right. You wouldn't need the spurs or anything.
They don't wear spurs.
Oh, is it just cowboys?
God. Do they wear spurs?
They don't wear spurs.
Do cowboys still wear spurs?
You're asking the wrong dude.
No, you're the horse editor. There's literally no one better to ask.
That's a different type of horse.
We were talking about the horse whipping.
That's dum-ba-dee-dum-dum-ba-dee-dum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that would probably be like...
That's my song.
Well, those are the horses that'll, get you across the desert.
Yeah.
You know, from one...
But there's not as much need for the dum-da-dee-dum horses, like getting you across...
Now that's what they're called.
The dum-da-dee-dum horses. Scott.
Yes.
A horse's skin is pretty thick, right? Thick with the hair and all that stuff. So when they're getting whipped, it doesn't hurt that bad, right?
Again, this is a question for the horse. I don't know, but
I'm not going to speculate
riding crops,
assume the horse's motivation.
The riding crops are generally, they're padded, and you know, you ask any trainer and they're going to say, no, it doesn't hurt that much, or any jockey, but it looks bad though. That's why they've changed the rules about how many times you can use it and all this other stuff, and they've softened them. So I mean, people are aware of that issue, and it's definitely more image than its actual reality. It looks bad, and yeah. I don't like it.
That's it my does. Mom's least favorite part. She doesn't like watching it because of that. She
yeah,
doesn't
I,
like to
I understand.
See that part.
I totally understand. That's why they've changed the rules. You can only use it a certain number of times. It still doesn't look good, but it's hard. You know, it's difficult to not use it because horses are used to it. I mean, I guess if you just go generation, you stop using it. One of these days, it wouldn't matter. But they're trained to do this stuff. So that's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Anyway, well, sovereignty will not be in the Preakness.
Yeah, why?
Which is kind of a bummer. These days, again, sticking to the animal welfare issue, it's all about the horse. And 2 weeks is a short turnaround time. It used to be tradition. The Preakness is 2 weeks. The Belmont is 3 weeks later. It's 5 weeks, Triple Crown. It's very hard to do. And for decades sometimes, from 1978 to 2015, nobody did it. And people would say, well, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard because of the spacing. Now, everyone is so conscious of the animal welfare issue that they're just going to do right by the horse and Triple Crown be damned. That's just the way it is. And I think they need to change the spacing of the races so that it's once every month. That would be more appropriate.
Let me get to a caller. Sue in Kirkwood is on with us. Hello, Sue.
Hi. I just wanted to throw a note in there. I run dogs in competition, and I have friends who run horses in races. And there's no doubt in my mind, you can tell every single time, if you pull up to an event with a horse in a trailer or a dog in a trailer and there's an event going on, they get so excited. It's crazy because you train for this. but they know the difference between the sounds, the scents, the people, the voices, the equipment that you bring, and level of excitement. And they're tuned into that. They get out of those trailers, and believe me, they are ready to go.
Sue, how
Thank
do you get
you.
How do you get jockeys small enough for the dogs?
Monkeys!
Monkeys!
Oh, good Lord. We're opening a whole can of worms now.
That is fair, Sue. Because I will say,
yeah, that's a great point.
My parents' dog, Francis, you have to spell dog park. And when you get out a certain leash, like he knows, we're going to the dog park. We're going to see my friends. His friend is Yachty.
Well, they know that, and they know when they're going to the vet. Work.
But back to Zenyatta, when she would be in the post parade before the race, the paddock, she did a specific dance. Because she knew she was getting ready to perform, and she would pose for pictures, too. That was the other funny thing.
Wow.
I saw her in person several times. She would pose for pictures, and she would do a dance that she only did when she was racing.
Wow.
I think we're projecting.
Nope. Do you think dressage horses are like, I am killing it. Fancy. Have you seen the dressage horses?
No. Oh, yes, I have seen those.
About this.
Those are...
Like when Snoop said they're crip walking?
Apparently, it's Mother's Day Sunday.
Oh.
You want to tell us...
It is. And I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mother. So happy Mother's Day, Mom.
But you have something interesting.
I always have something interesting.
About Mother's Day specifically.
So the so-called mother of Mother's Day is a woman named Anna Jarvis. She was a copywriter from West Virginia, born during the Civil War. And she watched as her mother worked to organize work clubs to care for soldiers on both sides of the war. Mothers, that is. And she began organizing a Mother's Day in about 1907. But here's the funny thing. Later, she spent her life fighting against Mother's Day. And here's why. I want to read a quote.
Oh.
She got upset about the commercialism and popularization of the holiday. Mm. And she has a quote in the Washington Post. What will you do to rout charlatans, bandits, pirates, racketeers, kidnappers, and other termites that would undermine with their greed one of the finest, noblest, and truest movements and celebrations? That was her quote about people destroying Mother's Day.
Wow.
Happy Mother's Day. Was it on Truth Social?
To all the haters and losers, happy Mother's Day.
I think that's precious.
Scott Jagow, three good things, roaming St. Louis, all that good stuff Sunday.
Sunday morning, 6:30 to 9:30. Tune in, please.
That's Scott Jagow. Listen to KMOX all weekend long, especially Sunday morning. Coming up next, the Battlehawks have a game coming up on Sunday, and we are going to talk to Battlehawks tight end Chase Allen. That's next on 104.1 FM.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX and the Battle Hawks with a game against Memphis, the Showboats. That'll be on Sunday. It is a 2:00 game coming up here. This after the Battle Hawks beat Arlington. That was last week, and now we are joined by Battlehawks tight end Chase Allen, who joins us on KMOX. How's it going, Chase?
It's going great, Chris. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. We're excited to have you, being a Missouri native. You grew up in Springfield, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Right outside of Springfield, Nixa. My dad was the head coach at Missouri State for a number of years down there, so we absolutely love Southwest Missouri, and I'm proud to represent the home state.
That's awesome. And also, our listeners must know, I was so excited. I was like, Nixa? That's where Jason Bourne is from.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Oh, my gosh. Not enough people know that Jason Bourne is from Nixa.
Yes.
That's right.
David Webb, spoiler alert. When in the Bourne Supremacy, he finds out it says David Webb, Nixa, Missouri, and it's like the greatest thing ever. Is there any plaque in Nixa that says David Webb on it?
I hope there is. If there's not, that's a crime. But I heard a story about how that came to be. You know, yeah. Brad Pitt is a Springfield legend.
Yep.
And apparently, he was the one that put the bug in the ear about Nixa. They're like, hey, we need a small town. And Brad Pitt was like, I got just the town.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Do you know Chapel Roan?
That's so cool.
So, I don't know, but she was my age group. I think I was in high school at the same time as her, and one of my classmates posted like a cross-country picture, and side-by-side was in stride with Chapel Roan. I was like, well, what do you know? Look at that.
That is awesome, and I know exactly. I mean, if it's the cross-country picture that was kind of circulating on social media.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the one I saw. Wow. Yes, because I'm into running, so it was going around all the running circles of like, look it, here's Chapel Roan. So your friend is in that picture with her.
Yeah, she was in the Central Ozarks Conference cross-country meet.
Oh, my gosh. This is all almost as interesting as the football.
I know. This is turning into a Chris Farley interview. We're like, remember that time? Remember when Jason Bourne was from Nixa?
Was awesome.
So Chase Allen, Missouri native, now with the Battle Hawks, joins us. And you got drafted by the Bears, right?
I went undrafted to the Bears.
Oh, no, that's right. You a practice squad. You were on the practice squad with them.
Was on the practice squad. Got to play in a game on Christmas Eve. It was a good time. Well, you were a Chicago guy, is that correct?
That's right, yes. I am a Bears fan.
He is a long-suffering Bears fan.
Hey, this is the year, man.
Okay.
Stars are aligning. I'm sure you've probably heard that before.
Because of the
Pope? Yes, every year. Is it because the Pope?
He might be from Chicago.
Can't hurt to have God on your side. Can't hurt.
Listen, I feel like maybe you... I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope it is the year for them. But I feel like maybe you... got out at the right time, you know. Like, I'm just not very confident. You didn't get that Bear stink
really
on you.
I enjoyed my time there. I had some great teammates, and you know, I truly do hope the best for the franchise because it's a very historic franchise. And you know, hope I'm all the best.
It is a great fan base, and what we have found out in the last few years is the Battle Hawks fan base. It's not the NFL, but man, they of and I know that you've been with them now. For a while, so you've been to the other buildings, you've been to the other stadiums. How much different is it to play at the Battle Dome opposed to playing somewhere else?
It is night and day. I mean, the passion that our fan base brings is just, it's next level. You really don't see it anywhere else in this entire league, and it's something that we love as players, right? Like, fills our tank. Mm-hmm. Energy is just is top notch, but then the other guys on the other team, I'll be lined up against them, and they'll be like, man, this place is awesome. It gets so loud in here. So just hearing that, cool. Like, during the game, you know, it's so appreciated for our players and everywhere else. So we have so much fun. If you guys haven't been able to experience a Battle Hawks game yet, please try to make it out, because it's just a great experience there. And I know St. Louis loves their football, and we're bringing it to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is. It's... you see the support that St. Louis has for the Battle Hawks and the Dome. And you play in the Dome, but obviously so did Kurt Warner. And I heard you've got ties to Kurt Warner?
That is correct, yes. My dad actually coached Kurt Warner in college at Northern Iowa.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, those two keep in touch. And when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, my dad got to go. And story that happened, I was very young, and I was choking on something. We were at like a pool. Of course, I don't remember this, but Kurt Warner was actually the one that I think gave me the Heimlich and saved me then.
Oh my gosh.
No kidding.
I know. Crazy, right?
That's pretty impressive.
Kurt Warner saved your life.
Saved my life.
He saved St. Louis football, and he saved your life.
That is right.
So you grew up, obviously, your dad coaching at Northern Iowa, coaching at Missouri State, being the son of a coach, and then going on to have your own football career in college and then professional football. When did you know that you wanted to do that, and how much of that was because of your dad?
I'd say my dad was such an asset for me in my athletic career, not just football, just growing up. And he was excellent. He just, you know, taught me the right way, how to be a competitor. And with football, that was kind of I wasn't too sure until like the end of high school. I played high level basketball. I thought that maybe I might try to do that in college, but then football ended up being the thing. Like, you know, I probably have the highest ceiling here, but you know, with things like recruiting and, you know, trusting the right coaches, you know, it's a hard world to navigate for a lot of high school kids. But like I said, such an asset of my father, he was able to help me pick through the weeds and ended up having a great career at Iowa State with Coach Matt Campbell. And it's been awesome. You know, I can continue to talk to him about the game plan and whatnot. And it's just been really special.
Well, obviously St. Louis loves the Battle Hawks, and they also love people who get St. Louis and get Missouri. You grew up here in Missouri. We were just talking about your ties to Kurt Warner. You also grew up playing high school basketball against Jason Tatum, right?
Yes, that is correct. I played for the Kansas City team, the AAU team. We were MoCan. We had Trey Young and Michael Porter Jr. on our team, and our rivals were the St. Louis Eagles with Jason Tatum. So, yeah, got to play against that guy, and holy smokes, what a talent he is.
Was it one of those where you knew you're playing against him and you just knew he was another level?
Yeah, I mean, you can tell from that age, it was different. And, you know, I wasn't the one guarding him, thank God. But there was one play I got switched off on him, and he started yelling to his other player, mismatch, mismatch, mismatch. And then he's trying to get the ball. And they passed the ball to him, and I tipped it out of bounds. And I was like, yeah. So then I got switched back on my guy. I was like, yeah, right, mismatch.
That's like the worst, most condescending trash talk ever. Like, he's not even...
Oh, thank God he didn't get the ball.
It's just a fact. Mismatch, mismatch.
Yeah. Oh no, he knows.
I'm sorry, Chase. I'm sorry that happened.
That's awesome.
You know what? That's just rude.
Oh, no. It all works out. All works out.
But your team did win a state title, right?
You know, we did not. We came up short in football. We played in the Dome, actually. And in football, we ended up losing there. So I think his team may have won the state title in basketball. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I don't know how much, if you're a trash talker on the field or not, but I think you should pull out mismatch, mismatch, because that's brutal.
Yeah. It translates better to basketball, but I'll see if I can pull it off this Sunday.
If you ever see him again, I want you to remind him he did that to you and then make him feel bad.
He's probably done it to hundreds of others, so I doubt he'd feel that bad. I mean, the guy's a walking mismatch.
That's a great point.
I know.
Wow.
They love him in Boston. We know that. So the game Sunday, 2 o'clock, Memphis Showboats. You will be on the road in Tennessee. Chase Allen, we're really glad to have you on today. So thanks for giving us a few minutes, and good luck on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chris and Amy, and I wish you guys all the best and have a great weekend. Hopefully tune in for the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Chase Allen, Battle Hawks tight end with us. They just beat Arlington. Now they're going to be on the road. They've got the Showboats. You know the thing about the Showboats?
What about them?
They're always bragging.
Yeah.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We continue the sports after this because City SC has a game. They just played a game, and now they got to play again on Saturday.
They're fine.
That's tomorrow. They're not fine. This is not enough time to rest.
This is like the Preakness. You can't do the Derby and the Preakness.
City SC against San Diego tomorrow, and we've got Dale Schilly, the Academy Director and broadcaster on Y98. He is with us next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
After 90 minutes of regular play and about 10 total minutes tonight of Enterprise stoppage time, St. Louis City advances by a final score of 2-0 in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. City 2, Union Omaha 0.
City SC with a win on Wednesday against Omaha in the U.S. Open Cup. And now they got a game, an MLS game, is happening tomorrow against San Diego FC.
Because that was not an MLS game on
that
Wednesday.
That was not an MLS game. This one's going to be. Dale Schilly is City SC's Academy Director. and broadcaster on Y98. That was his partner, Joey Zanaboni, on the call. And now we've got Dale with us again on a Friday. What's up, Dale?
Good morning, and don't ask me to explain all the different levels and whatnot. Don't confuse me on who we're playing, if they're MLS or not.
Dale, this blows my mind.
You're in it, and you don't get it.
Yeah. You're the guy that should get it.
Yeah, so now
that's
I don't
right.
feel bad.
Well, I could. Yeah, I'll say the other night we played Union Omaha, who would have been in the third tier of U.S. soccer. So not an MLS team, in a league called USL1, okay, which is beneath USL Championship, which is beneath MLS. How about that?
Well, I thought, you know more than I did. I thought Union Omaha was life insurance and financial advice.
And I thought it was a wildlife show.
You're like, none of this makes sense. But just so people know, because it said Joey Zanaboni said that City will advance, that clip we just played. But their next game is not related to Wednesday's game. Their next game is an MLS game, but then Wednesday, May 21st, is when they play Minnesota United in the U.S.
That's
Open
correct.
Cup. So they're kind
correct.
Of in two different things at once.
That's right. Two competitions going at once. You got the league play of the MLS games. That would be our game tomorrow versus San Diego, our game on Wednesday the 14th at home against Sporting Kansas City. And then the May 21st game will be against Minnesota, up in Minnesota. That will be an Open Cup match. And now look, not to confuse you guys.
Too late.
But
too late.
Our game on, I believe, the 17th of May will be against Minnesota United up in Minnesota. And that will be a league game. So we'll play them in back-to-back matches, okay, once on the 17th, once on the 21st. The first, a league game. The second, a cup match.
Wait, what league?
the MLS league.
Oh, MLS, yeah. that one.
That would
okay.
be, it would, it is that funny, one. Though, Dale. I mean, when you think about it, it would be like the St. Louis Cardinals, like, well, they face the Brewers tonight and tomorrow night, and then on Wednesday they're playing in the Baseball of America League against the Cubs.
Baseball of America League.
Like, you're like, wait, what? It's a little confused. It's a little unusual, MLS is, for American fans.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is done worldwide. So worldwide, there's league matches, there's cup matches. The league is a prescribed X amount of games over the course of a longer period of time. The cup matches are typically single elimination or group play and elimination. And, yeah, it's done around the world. It's a little bit different. It's unique to the soccer world. I don't know of another team sport that has events, concurrent events like this, but keeps it interesting. Keeps us on our toes.
It does, but I will note it was the 28th grievance against King George III and the Declaration of Independence, but I must have struck that. All these interleague plays. It feels very European. No taxation without representation and no interleague play in the middle of the season.
So now if you were confused before, now how are you feeling?
Let's go back to Mutual of Omaha.
Yes.
Union of Omaha.
Union, see?
Warren Buffett's team.
You ever...
I didn't know that guy played soccer.
Dale, you ever get to the point where you're just like, I don't even know these teams. There's just a ball out there. I'm going to follow the ball and tell you what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I let Joey tell me what's going on. That's when I know I'm in trouble.
How is Joey doing?
And Joey was excited the other night. He called a couple of goals. He was very excited and happy we got the result. And both of us are looking forward to the game versus San Diego.
Tell us about San Diego.
Yeah, an expansion team, but right now they're in the top four in our conference. Having a good year, and we played them out there. They outplayed us in their home opener, I believe. That was their home opener. They outplayed us. We ended with a 0-0 draw, but we'll see. They've had a good start to the year, and now that we've got result the other day, felt good scoring a couple goals, felt good having a good attacking moments. Hopefully we can carry it over against San Diego.
How are we doing on the injury front? front, Dale? Because I know City SC had a few guys dealing with some issues.
Yeah. Well, Roman Berkey's back in full training. We'll see if he's back in goal yet or not, or if we continue with Ben Loon, who's done well filling in for Roman. We had Alfredo Morales went down with a little bit of an injury the other day. But we're starting to get some of the guys back. The bench is getting a little bit deeper. And so we're starting to see some faces back, and that's important because we were really hurting there for a while, but we're certainly not in the same spot we were 2 weeks ago.
With the new coach who's now had some time, quite a bit of time to settle in, and we know what the style of play was like under Bradley Carnell, and it's a little bit different now, but do you get the sense that, you know, everybody else has settled in around him?
I would say that we're starting to see that we're defending a little bit higher up the field. Olaf is getting more comfortable with the league as he's starting to bring in and play more attacking-oriented players. So the game's happening more in the front half of the field. The team still you know, has a defensive shell about him where we're limiting chances for the other team. But we're starting to see us get forward a little bit more, create a few more opportunities, a few more chances. We've seen that we've scored some goals here over the last three or four matches. So I would say we're starting to settle in with an identity where guys are starting to recognize exactly what Olaf is looking for, and he's starting to realize what some of the potentials are of the players.
Speaking of potential for players, Joey Zielinski scored a goal in his first pro match. Is he in the lineup now for good for the rest of the season?
Well, you would think that every time a guy scores, that means they're automatically in the first 11, but it doesn't normally work that way.
Okay.
We'll have to see, though. I mean, look, he's young legs. Some guys put in a full shift on Wednesday night that have put in a lot of minutes over the course of the year because he's young, because he had a good performance. He could be on the table to be selected for Saturday night. He's young enough that he could go a Wednesday, Saturday and be able to perform. But yeah, Olaf plays those cards really close. He doesn't let out, you know, what he's thinking in terms of a lineup. He'll give a player an accolade for a good performance, but he's not going to share a lineup until he rolls it out at game time.
Yeah. And I just like if City is they're struggling a bit, right? They're trying to get some momentum going, get some more offense. You would think that maybe a young guy who had a good game like that might have a better chance to find a slot in the lineup versus a team that's already a finely tuned machine.
For sure. And especially knowing that some of the guys that have logged in so many minutes are, you know, have to be wearing down a little bit. So I would think Joe's chances are good. If he's not fit enough to do it Wednesday, Saturday, he could be a candidate for Wednesday, since we have Sporting Kansas City next Wednesday. So a lot of guys are going to see some minutes. There'll be some player rotation here over the next 2 weeks because of the number of games the team's playing.
How do players feel about this when they do have a game on a Wednesday and then they're right back at it like 3 days later?
Well, if you ask a player, they would much rather play than train. So they look forward to these times. But, you know, you have to watch them because if you start dealing with, soft tissue issues like a hamstring or a calf or a groin or a quad or something like that, once you start getting with one guy, it usually spreads pretty quickly because everybody's in the same or similar position physically. So, sometimes the guys, they want to go, but somebody has to be on the sideline pulling the strings back, making sure guys are healthy and you can get through a couple of games, with guys not getting injured.
A bit of a dumb question. But you talk about training, guys being fit, and that fine balance of making sure your fitness is at peak level, but you're not wearing down. Once you get into the season, is the practice itself plenty of running, the games and all of that for the players? Or are they still having to go out, you know, like what we think, like COIC soccer, high school soccer, going out and run? Are these guys running, or is it no once they're in the middle of the season?
what they'll do for the guys that are getting major minutes, for the guys that are playing, they'll have a routine over the course of the week where, you know, early in the week, they'll do like regen type stuff just to keep their get the blood out of their legs, that sort of thing. Then they'll do like a, what they'll call a re-entry session where they'll get acclimated with the ball after a day off. And then about midweek, they'll have a fairly hard session to continue to push their fitness levels. And then they'll taper off on Thursday and Friday leading into the Saturday match. So they won't go straight out running. Certainly the guys that are getting minutes, they won't go straight out running, but they'll for sure have a heavy session midweek on most weeks to try to keep their fitness levels going up.
Dale Shilley will have the call of City SC's game against San Diego FC. That is tomorrow. It is an 8:30 start. That seems really late. Is that late?
That seems very late to me. And I will bring all my energy. And it's an MLS game.
All my energy.
I don't know if you need it because you got Joey.
Hey, he's got a lot of energy. Dale, I will say this. You'll appreciate it. Growing up, my cousin had a friend who was a soccer player, and this must have been like when we were late. It must have been early 20s. And my dad, you know, met him, is like, "So, what do you do?" And he's like, "I'm a goalie." He's like, "You're a goalie?" He's like, "For who?" And he's like, "Well, I'm looking for a job." And I always thought being an unemployed goalie feels like a tough gig to be in. Like, imagine, like, that's your skill set. I'm a goalie, but I'm short a job right now.
I can't find a team.
Yeah.
There's only one spot on each team.
But it's their fault.
I know. Anyway, I think you had to get a different job, but I remember my dad. I mean, can you imagine a dad's reaction? You're a goalie. Yeah. Son, you need to find a job.
Jeez. Dale, enjoy the game tomorrow. Have lots of coffee, and we'll be listening in to Y98.
Thank you, guys.
Dale Shilley, City SC Academy Director, and he is the color analyst for the, I think that's redundant, he is the analyst for SC Soccer on Y98 with the call, Joey Zanaboni. You can listen in tomorrow. 8:30 is the kickoff. Did you see this? Is next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX. Now, did you see this? With Chris and Amy.
On this show, we like to correct mistakes, and we like to correct them and then tell you who screwed up. So you should know both of those things. A, the game tomorrow is at 7:30.
Which would explain Dale Shilley's surprise.
And he didn't correct me either.
He didn't, but he's like, that does seem late.
I also blame him, because he could have said, no, the game's at 7:30, not 8:30.
You confused him.
Well, do you know why I was confused?
Why?
Because Matt Pajeski wrote down the wrong time.
No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
Well, yeah. He's still learning, you know.
He really is.
He's doing his
When do
best.
You graduate, Matt?
Next year.
Okay. Yeah. But he's got his nice brown shoes on, and he puts on a good front. So
City SC, San Diego FC, tomorrow at Energizer Park, 7:30. Not 8:30, you big dummy.
8:30 Eastern time. That's what I said.
Doesn't say Eastern on this.
Oh, well, I should have clarified that.
Yeah. Hey.
Fired.
I don't know if you saw this, Ron. It's actually kind of scary and sad, but this happened on Fox News.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Ideology, or it's not about...
Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're just going to get some help here for Cameron. Let me come back to Lydia while we get some help for Cameron here.
You're listening to is an analyst was in studio on Fox News, the cable network. And when she goes, she closes her eyes and passes out, loses consciousness, falls off the chairs, which if anyone's been in a studio, that's not a small fall to just collapse off the chairs. And so the host, oh my goodness, we're going to get some help here. Oh, let's go back to Lydia, his other guest. What she was saying about the president. No, go to break. This guy's inclination was to continue the conversation about the president before people behind the cameras were waving at him. Go to break. You have a woman, an unconscious woman on the floor next to you. And Ron, when I did tell you this story, you pointed out it's not like the viewing audience is going to be able to move on from the woman who just seemingly died on television.
Right. She was okay after the fact. She said she was okay. Didn't really say what happened. Maybe she doesn't know what happened or why she passed out. But, yeah, if you're watching that, no matter what the topic is, I know your instinct is maybe we should... Actually, shouldn't be your instinct. But if you're the host, mm-hmm. I could see that your instinct might be, well, keep the show going. So let's move on to the next person. But everybody watching is going to be going, what? Oh, no, what happened? Yeah. You can't just move on like I'm going to be able to move on too.
Well, and there's a difference too between like the studios when they got the breaking news, right, about like 9/11 or some tragedy where you need to stay calm. You keep talking about what's happening, but you don't pretend. It's different from like if Gail King or Savannah Guthrie just like passed out on the couch. You don't go, well, someone's going to take care of Savannah, but let's keep talking about the barbecue themes for Memorial Day. You're not going to get over that.
So you're going to need to be very careful if you have children and they have access to your Amazon account.
Okay.
On Sunday morning, a woman in Lexington, Kentucky was getting ready to leave the house for church when a delivery driver rolled up and dropped off a 25-pound box of lollipops. You know the dum-dum suckers, you get at the bank?
Oh, yeah.
So, dropped off a 25-pound box, and then another one, and then another, and then soon enough, there were 22 boxes of 50,000 lollipops.
What?
That her child had accidentally placed this massive order on Amazon. Actually, the number went up to 70,000.
Oh, 70,000 dum-dums?
Had bought 70,000 dum-dums.
So...
And it cost her $4,200.
Oh, my gosh.
So she was able to return them, but still, this kid accidentally ordered 70,000 suckers.
That's actually pretty funny.
I think you should have to keep them. If you can't keep your kids away from your Amazon, that's on you, pal.
If I were her, do you know what I would do? I would open a bank. Be like, well, I got to get rid of these somehow.
Well, I got the suckers.
What else do I need?
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Coming up next is the 28th annual Microfest happening here in St. Louis at the Roan Festival Grounds. And it benefits the Lift for Life gym. Joe Miller is the executive director of that gym, and he's with us next on KMOX.